Welcome to 167 Hours Beyond Sunday, a companion podcast to the sermons of Crossroads Christian Church in Gray, Tennessee, where we try to go beyond the message and talk about what life looks like in the 167 hours we're not in church during the week. I'm your host today, Ryan Hughes, and I am joined by Children's Minister Heather Logan. Heather, what's good today?
Oh, a lot. It's getting really close to Christmas. Super excited about that.
The countdown has begun.
Yes.
T-minus 4 days, is that right?
Something like that. I've lost count. I still haven't finished all my Christmas shopping yet. But a lot of it's been done mostly, you know, online.
Yeah, if there was ever a season for online Christmas, this is it for sure. I think I'm still waiting on a gift that I ordered at the beginning of December, and it's been in Akron, Ohio for like 2 weeks.
I don't know why. I feel you. I purchased a lawn sign to go in the front of our house that said hope. Way back at the very beginning of Advent, and it's still not here. So, yeah. Yep.
Well, we hope that it gets to you.
Yeah, me too. I'm hoping. Then we'll have some joy.
Very good. And I'll be at peace. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, and today, we're gonna share some love.
Sharing some love. That's right. That's what today's going to be all about. So, how have things been? Like, your family is starting to kind of reconvene back together. Brandon's back home, and he's at Johnson, and he's back home, so things are kind of back to the norm of having him around. Or has it gotten so, you've gotten so used to not having him around that it's now different?
Well, you know, I gotta be honest, Ryan, it's pretty much like he's still not here, because he sleeps most of the day. He pokes his head out for a little bit of food and then goes back in, and then he pokes his head out to go hang out with his friends, and then he goes back in. So, you know, it's really like, oh, I forgot you were even here with us.
I think we call that the Christmas break hibernation cycle for college students.
Oh yeah, I'm not used to that. This is the first one. Most of ours are, you know, we're empty nesters now, and most of them are married and gone, and I forgot what that was like, because there were already so many people in the house. This is the first time it's empty with a person coming back into the house, so it's a little different.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, and, you know, just to be honest, we did try to get him to come onto the podcast today to put him on the spot a little bit, but he chose the comfort of, a blanket cocoon? Is that what we called it?
A blanket cocoon is what he chose, yeah. Well, that's okay, you know, another time.
We'll get him on at some point. I would also find it hard to leave my blanket cocoon if given the option.
Yeah, and I'm not disrupting that, so.
Well, and you know, in the issue of transparency here, we are doing this over Zoom, so in theory, I could have a cocoon of blankets on, and no one but you will know.
I know.
I am wrapped up in a bunch of blankets. No one will know.
That's true. I could actually do the podcast from Brandon's bedroom while he's in his cocoon of blankets, and no one would know.
You know, now that might have been the thought. We'll come back to that next time. Well, all right. Well, Heather, let's jump on in here to the podcast. I sent you some topics to talk about earlier today, and let's just hop in here with question number one. So yesterday, Patrick asked the folks watching the service online to respond to whether they're feeling the same kind of Christmas spirit as usual. And I have theories about what most people's answers are, but how would you answer that question given everything that's going on right now?
Well, I have an inkling that your theory is probably correct, that it definitely is a different type of Christmas spirit this year. You know, I've seen several family members pass away with COVID, not being able to be with them. That's been really, really difficult, not celebrating in the way that we usually do. I mean, most people, a gathering is like a handful of people. When we get together, you know, we can drop 60 people in one room at one time. That's so not going to happen. You know, we're a very large family, and we love to be together. We love to eat together. We love to share stories together. And yeah, so it's definitely a little bit different. We've had a couple of options of Zooming already, you know, since Easter of last year, and connecting with our family. And it's definitely been different, including a marriage that ended up being a, you know, they eloped, and then we had a little celebration. So yeah, definitely the whole year has definitely been different. And leading into this Christmas, the spirit is still here, and we are still going to love on each other, and we are still going to celebrate. the gift of Jesus's birth. And so that's the exciting part. And we're just going to have to get creative with the way that we do it. So.
Yeah, I know. For, and you were correct. My hunch was right. It is a weird time of year for everybody right now, specifically trying to figure out how to gather, how to be with each other on Christmas. My family is, my mom's side, at least, is also a very large family. And every year our tradition was to gather at my grandmother's house, and there'd be Chick-fil-A nugget trays and all this other good stuff. But this year, obviously, we can't do that. So we're trying to figure some things out. And I was actually really excited that my aunt texted me yesterday and said, "Hey, what's your email? We're going to set up a Zoom reading." So my grandmother every year does the Christmas story from Luke, and that's kind of been our family tradition for as long as I can remember. And it's going to be really good to have the family at least able to partake in that together. So that's one of those creative solutions that I'm very thankful for, and I'm hoping that a lot of other folks can find ways to do as well. It's because you don't realize how much these things are of value to you until they're potentially taken away, right? Like
Yeah. And I know you can either bury yourself down in a hole, or you can embrace it and take that plunge and go forward and try to come up with creative ways. Yeah, it's messy and it's no fun, but and there have been days, there's ebbs and flows with that, but there have been good days and there have been bad days. But in the end, it's worth it because it's for family. So.
Yeah, that's true. It's one of my favorite authors calls it the hidden option in creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, there's either you can do it this way or you can do it that way. There's always a third hidden option, like he calls it. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the season where we're going to be exposing some hidden options, and people have to try to find out how to disrupt their schedules and their routines. Hey, speaking of disruption.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm reading my notes here, and it's really fun for me to be able to find little segues there. One of the themes during yesterday's message was that of disruption. The whole Christmas story, the incarnation itself, it was a disruption into human history, but also into the characters' lives. You know, think of teenage Mary and a little bit older Joseph, not to mention the shepherds, the magi, etc. And by the way, on that, a whole other tangent. I've been reminded all year, specifically seeing people posting on Instagram, and it cracks me up, pictures of, you know, cherubim, little sweet baby, little angels versus the more accurate biblical depiction of angels from like Ezekiel. And it says, "Do not fear." And talk about a disruption there. That would be, I can imagine. I now know why, you know, why they're saying, "Don't fear, it's okay." Like, it's more of an emphatic, like, "Oh, no, don't, it's okay. You're fine. We're fine. It's okay."
Yeah. Where's the story about the shepherd that had a heart attack that nobody ever saw because, you know, they passed because of the angels. Yeah.
There was actually one more shepherd. He just bolted as soon as he saw him.
Right.
So in the interest of disruptions, like my little rabbit trail just took us on, would you be so vulnerable as to share a disruption from your life where, looking back, you can see that God was at work and probably in a way that you didn't even expect God to be working in that moment? And you can, you know, like I said, you can be as vulnerable as you want. You can keep it, you know, very light and breezy, or we'll go wherever you want to go.
Yeah. I mean, I have a whole lot that I could share, but, you know, David and I have our own Mary and Joseph vulnerable moment there. There's
all right. Let's have it.
Hey, well, you know, I really thought about this and prayed about this and, you know, full disclosure, I was that 17-year-old girl expecting a baby, whose life was thrown off course as a sophomore, dating a college freshman, and found myself in that position of losing everything. You know, I was running track and playing volleyball and cross country, and you know, I was making a grade. I won't say I was making the best grades, but I was getting it done. And you know, I you know, captain of this team and doing all the things and living life and thinking I'm going to do this. And then all of a sudden I found myself in this position of, hey, you made some really bad choices and now you're pregnant. What are you going to do? And so, you know, as Patrick was talking about that, I was thinking about it in my life, what that was like for me. And it didn't just affect me. It didn't just have an impact on me. It had an impact on the people around me. My family had an impact on the blessing of the fact that the person, you know, this happened with and all this stuff went down, trying to keep it G here, was the man that I ended up marrying. And we've been together for almost 32 years now, which is crazy to think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what was going to happen. And there was a great deal of hardship when you have a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old that all of a sudden find themselves in this place of getting ready to raise a child. You don't know. You don't know. And you really don't see God in that moment because you're not thinking like that. But, you know, God definitely showed up. God placed so many amazing people in our lives to keep us on track, to keep us together. The choice of getting married, the choice of going through life together with all of the pain and all of the joy, well surpassed what could have been so different. And so I'm thankful for that because it doesn't always work out that way. But I could definitely, now that I look back, I kind of giggle sometimes because, you know, I didn't have the college experience and I had kids when people were telling me they were doing this and I was not doing that. I had no idea what that was like, but, yeah. But that experience, looking back on it now, has helped me to be able to minister to the needs of people in those similar situations and to kind of have a little bit more compassion and to realize, and we'll kind of probably talk about this a little bit later, but to realize that listening to their story first is that perfect disruption that we need. We always want to answer everybody's questions, have an answer for them, and fix it. Mm-hmm. And it's not always about fixing it. Sometimes it's just about being a good listener.
Yeah.
And being there for them in the middle of their vulnerability. And if you've ever been in that situation where you've been vulnerable, it makes it easier for people to be able to open up to you. So
yeah.
Anyway, no, that was a little bit long, but but I really felt like that was, you know, I could reflect on that. No, I'm not Mary. It was not a virgin birth. I mean, nothing like that, but still the same circumstances, the same thought process of feeling lost and are we going to make it? You know, mm-hmm. Are we going to stay together? Am I going to marry this man? What's our life going to be like? Oh my gosh, I can't go do this now. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different. So anyway.
Yeah. As you were saying that, and thank you for sharing that, by the way, I'd never heard that part of your story before. So thanks for sharing. As you were talking and, you know, we're in the Christmas Advent season in preparation, the concept of, you know, I imagine you resonate with Mary in a different way than a lot of people can or have the ability to. And it made me think about, you know, in Luke 1, where she has her song of praise, it's, you know, the Magnificat. It doesn't say how long it took her to get to that point, does it?
I'm still getting to that point. And I think, It's a life journey. I think it was a journey for Mary up to the cross where, mm-hmm. you know, what did Jesus say? Woman, you know, it wasn't mother. It was mm-hmm. woman. She was just a person like anyone else living the life just like everyone else was.
Yeah. Yeah. That's some good wisdom there. And thank you for sharing again. Speaking of disruptions, you know, it's wild, you know, and they come out of nowhere seemingly. Right. You know, and it's not always clear what it's going to be like. Like you said, it's a journey. You got to keep going forward. But the prospect of a journey is you got to know where you were. Right. Because what good is a journey if you don't know where you've already been? You know, you might be circling the same spot, but if you remember where you came from and you remember where, you know, where this disruption happened and how you can look back and see what's come from that. It's the concept of hindsight, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We're getting ready for our the first sermon of 2021, I believe, is going to be about the concept of hindsight and how nice it is.
If we only knew what we knew now, what we went through then, what if we could know it now? Yeah, it's like you hear it all the time.
Who's the band that sings the song "I Wish I Knew"? Oh shoot! a disruption is coming.
See, this would have been where Brandon would have been good because he's my remember of music. So Brandon Miranda.
It's Faces. The band is Faces. Ulala is the name of the song. I wish I knew what I knew.
That's great.
Now, yeah. Anyways, that's the way my brain works. So let's keep moving here, trucking along with some questions. Patrick did point out yesterday that the hopes of the Jewish people were not realized on that Christmas morning because they had, in actuality, wanted to be freed from Roman rule. They wanted to be returned to the former glory via some sort of political action. And, you know, that's kind of the same kind of vibe we're going through right now. We're going to keep it as apolitical as
light.
Possible. Keeping it light. We're in Christmas time. Nobody needs to be thinking about politics anymore. Let's save that.
Otherwise, this would be a whole, we'd have a whole spew of podcasts to come after this. So yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We probably have to, but we're going to keep it light and just leave it there. So all that to say, God was doing something even deeper at work in the Jewish people or the world in general, because, you know, it expanded far beyond that. But the work that that was doing, Patrick referred to it as the collective sins of the people. And so the concept of that is that it's not just one individual sin that ruins the whole bunch. And while it can do that, you know, you think back to Eve going and partaking of the fruit with Adam. It's not just the one, it's the culmination of the many over time. And so the concept here is the church collectively repenting of what we may not have done individually, but what we've been a part of historically. So it's collectively, individually, historically. And that's kind of a hard concept to even begin to think about in a short little podcast, but
it is. But also at the same time, you know, God didn't send Jesus because of a sin. Right. God sent Jesus because a collection of sins, because he needed something here. He needed someone here to show people what their sins were and to be able to embrace that going forward and then die on the cross to take our sins, because it wasn't something as simple. I mean, hello, look at the history of God's people. Every time they didn't see him or feel like he was there, they ran, they hid, they stole, they were worshiping false idols. Every chance they got, every time they felt God was not present, they went off on a tangent or down a road that they shouldn't have been going down. Mm-hmm. So it makes total sense that there's this collective sins of the people and that we all kind of, are a reflection of that. But then, like you said, we have our own individual sins and we make horrible choices. And so I was kind of like looking at it from a disruption of indifference. And the fact that we have this tendency to not act, you know, on that indifference. We have a tendency to hide ourselves. And I think that's a big reason why God sent Jesus here, is so we could put those at the forefront. It's kind of like my brain is going in so many different directions right now, because I can see all the multiple pieces of history playing out throughout scripture to get to where we are right now. And we have so many choices in our life and we tend to remain passive, and that gets us every single time. We're not called to be passive. We're supposed to act when there's a need or even when there's an injustice. And I think that's what we're kind of talking about here. And historically, God's people are known for either reacting out of anger or violence or hatred and putting something in place of what they need to be focused on, which is God. Yeah. And we really struggle with that. We become inactive, you know, and instead of being active, you know, that's a big thing.
Yeah. Well, when you said it, I wrote it down. The disruption of indifference. That's such a powerful little phrase and statement there. And talk about a year of disrupting indifference. 2020 has brought to light so many things it's hard to not care anymore, right? For so many people, the privilege of indifference is just that. It's a privilege. You have the ability to not have to care so much.
Exactly.
If we're going to talk about one year that specifically recently has caused us to not be able to have that anymore and to kind of make people aware of what's going on in the world, this is it. I mean, we're seeing, and it's not that it's not always been there, right? Like it's a matter of us learning more about it, coming to terms with it, and not just shutting it off or, you know, not caring anymore about it. It's the idea of actually owning a little bit of the history that we've been a part of and trying to correct it.
Exactly. Because disruption is inevitable. It's going to happen. It's going to be prevalent in our lives, but let me see how I can word this. It's the outcome of how we produce love towards other people that separates us. How we view others. Are we listening to what is going on in their lives? I don't know really how to word that, but ultimately the outcome is love. It's how do we get to that outcome? Yeah. Are we listening? Are we here? Because you cannot get there without knowing the history. You cannot get there without embracing how people really feel and what they're going through. Right. And you cannot get there if they've never had an opportunity to really know Christ. Yeah. And that's like a whole lot of stuff wrapped up in a few words that seem a little empty, but are extremely full at the same time.
For sure. Well, and if, you know, here comes a little segue. If I were to wrap that up in maybe a little sentence, it might sound like the way forward is love.
Yeah. And I was constantly thinking the way forward is love. And it's kind of like in my brain, I'm thinking paying it forward. Yeah. You know, doing something nice for somebody else I know you're getting ready to say the thing that Patrick said, the love chooses the flourishing of others over the freedom of self. Mm-hmm. To me, the pay it forward immediately jumped in my head. Like every chance we get, we should, you know, allow people to be lifted up. We should be encouraging them. We should be embracing where they're coming from to give them the freedom to be able to express themselves. But at the same time, show love. And at the same time, it doesn't mean that I agree or disagree with the situation, but it means that I'm responsive enough to listen to what they have to say and to honor what they have to say and know that they're coming from a place of love and it might be disruptive love.
Yeah, that's so great. That kind of encompasses the next part of it, whereas we're talking about that phrase that Patrick threw down yesterday, love choosing the flourishing of others over our own personal freedom. And also just a little shameless plug for you. Your Instagram handle, it's serving it up, right? Or it was? That's what I thought, yeah.
When it you still said, is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So if anyone's looking to find Heather on Instagram, it's at serving it up. Is there numbers at the end of it or is it just serving it up?
I think it's at serving it up 8.
I knew there was a number in there somewhere, but there you go. So I love that. And that, if anyone that I know encompasses serving it up or paying it forward, Heather, it's you. You do a great job of that and making others feel loved and welcome.
I appreciate that. But just like it says, it's not about me. Sure. It's about putting others first, which is a priority and extremely important. And you know, from that 17-year-old mom to all the things that happened from then to now mm-hmm. are what give me that that joy of paying it forward, of putting others before myself, and really living that out loud, which again goes with our whole church on mission, life on mission, which I think is so important, which is what has drawn me to Crossroads in the first place, as first a member, a volunteer, and now a staff, you know? Yeah. So that's awesome. But I love this time of year.
That's great. So as we're wrapping up our time together here, just wanted to give you a chance to kind of tell us maybe a lighter story this time. We got pretty pretty deep for a couple of minutes there, but let's wrap it up on a nice little loving and kind note. So with that sentence, love chooses the flourishing of others over the freedom of self. And I'm going to say that a couple more times just so we really lock it in, because it's so important to keep in mind. Have you had any moments in your own life where you've chosen to let the flourishing of others go, I guess, to trump your freedom of self? Like you've chosen to let other people thrive and bloom and flourish, even at the expense of some of your own personal, you know, freedoms.
I'm not a conflict person, and I'm a doer and a helper. And so that seems to be, I have to be really passionate about something to put myself out there and say what I'm really thinking or feeling. So 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be that person that steps in the shadows. Mm-hmm. A really kind of funny thing is when we were doing these podcasts, Olivia kept asking me, can you send me a picture of you doing what you love to do? And so I'm like going through all my pictures, going through my Instagram, going through Facebook, there's very few pictures of me doing what I love to do. And the reason for that is I don't like to be in the front. I like to stand back and watch everyone else. I'm usually the one behind the lens, taking the picture of seeing things roll out, fold out, come into play. I like to be behind the scenes. I'm always letting someone else go up and shine, because I think that's the most important thing. Yeah. And, you know, I'll get my crown one day. It just won't be here. And I'm fine with that. So 9 times out of 10, you're going to see that. Like doing this podcast and, you know, doing some other things are really difficult. And this is really out of my comfort zone. But I think it's worth it in the long run, because I get to sit back and watch other people be successful for Jesus. And that's important to me. So
that's great.
I have no pictures of me. So
that's the John 3:30 model, right?
Yes. I've been
one of the more easily remembered scripture passages, but it's so impactful. John 3:30, which says that Christ should increase and we should decrease. You've for sure modeled that in your own life. Yeah.
I try to, but you know, people are amazing. And if you sit back and you listen to them, they will amaze you even more.
Yeah. That's good.
And they'll present opportunities for you to help them. So. Yeah.
Well, Heather, that's about all the time we've got for today. And the final thing, and I'm doing this, just as a curveball here, you don't have this on your notes ahead of you. I'm just going to make you do this. Ready?
Oh, no.
On the count of three, I need you to sing your favorite kids' Christmas hymn to make. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to make you do that.
Well, you know, I could, but I would have a request of again, I put someone else before myself, and I would have to sing Happy Birthday, Jesus, which is my least favorite Christmas song, but the one that everyone in my house walks around singing, except for my son-in-law, Bradley, who hates it.
Okay.
Not that he doesn't love Jesus, you know, the birth of Jesus, but, you know, that would be for the rest of my family. Happy birthday, Jesus.
So. Well, we'll give us a very special Happy Birthday, Jesus shout out from the 167 podcast here.
Yeah.
Well, Heather, thank you so much for the conversation and thanks for being here today. I really appreciate it. And then thank you everyone for joining us this week and listening in. If you're on iTunes and you don't mind, please give us a 5-star rating and maybe a review. If you want to keep up with all of Crossroads activities and find more content, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and you can find us by searching Crossroads Christian. There's all kinds of content for adults, kids, teenagers, and we're going to get some pre-K stuff going soon. There'll be online pre-K content for those kids on YouTube. It's going to happen. most of all, please make the most out of the rest of your 167 hours. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.